he was. He knew them. They didn't know him. Yet with all his knowledge of them, it's the statement that he makes that I want you to take note of. He called them children. Children, have ye any meat? Now don't you think there's something strange about that? Knowing that here were seven grown-up men, and he addressed them as children. They didn't seem to resent it one little bit. And they gave a true answer, a true report. They said, no. Now that wouldn't take much space in any paper or magazine to give that report, would it? No. Got nothing. Now let us go to verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Said unto him, Feed my lambs. Said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Said unto him, Feed my sheep. Said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now with these thoughts in mind, I want you now to go over to Peter's first epistle, where we've been reading in these past weeks. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now remember, we've already gone through this in the opening verses of the opening chapters, and we've learned this, that he's writing to people who were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We emphasized on the strength of that scripture that they were children in the new family, having been born into the spiritual family. Now what I'm suggesting tonight is this, that Peter learned his lessons and he learned them well. And what Peter learned himself, he's now passing on to others. You picture Peter there in the boat and the voice said, Children, have ye any meat? And they said, No. Then he told them where to cast the net. Cast the net and enclosed a great multitude of fish. Then they came to shore. And when they came to shore, they discovered this. He didn't need the fish they had caught. He already had fish prepared for them. The fire was there. The breakfast was ready. Now Peter seems to impress upon us in the writing of his letter now. Remember, he's writing to those who have been scattered abroad. If Peter and the rest were in a state of disappointment that morning, they had toiled all night and taken nothing, things had gone against them. It was Peter who said, I'm going to fish, and the rest said, we'll go with you. They toiled all night and took nothing. How disappointed they would be. Now Peter's writing his letter to people who somehow were disappointed, you know. They were scattered abroad. They were being persecuted. They were passing through times of suffering. Peter's writing to encourage them. He seems to tell them in writing this letter, remember, you've been born into God's family. They're God's children. But now after they had dined that morning, the Lord seemed to say to Peter, I have something special to say to you, Peter. Now this is not the occasion when the Lord appeared to Peter. On this occasion he appeared to the seven of them. On the first morning of the resurrection he had appeared to Peter. That's what they were saying in the upper room. When the two came back from Emmaus, they said, oh yes, he's appeared to Peter. talk to him. You know, I've often thought it would have been lovely if we could have had the sort of record of that and where it took place and how it happened, what the Lord said to him, as we get as a secret document, how Peter and the Lord had that conversation. But we do have the record of what the Lord said to him publicly here in front of the others. After they had died, now he speaks to Peter. I'll ask you a question, Peter. Do you love me more than me? You know the answer, and three times. And three times the Lord says to him, now Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I stressed this, I think it was our opening night. Some of the lessons that the Lord taught Peter. First of all, do you remember the time when he said to him, Peter, when you have turned again, when you've been converted, will you do this? Will you strengthen your brethren? Strengthen them. Peter learned how to do that. Here in John chapter 21, he says, Peter, if you love me, I want you to do this. I want you to feed the lamb. Feed the sheep. I've often thought that suggests the growing sheep. And then feed the sheep again is the old sheep. Whatever stage they're at, Peter, they'll need to be fed. Now, that word there, feed my sheep, it carries more than the idea of just giving them food. It's shepherd them, tend them. Now, Peter learned that lesson, and that's what he's going to tell us here, 1 Peter chapter 5. But if you care to connect it with the last verse of chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and the last verse of the chapter, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of the soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He's writing here to folks who are passing through times of suffering. Now watch what he says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Try now and keep in mind the incident recorded in John 21. Peter has been stumbling along for a few days. He's made his mistakes, let us admit that. But the Lord and him have had a little consultation together. As I say, we're not told what was said, where or how it happened, but the Lord appeared to Simon. And then, in the upper room that night, they're talking about it. There's been a restoration. But here in John 21, he's being reinstated to a responsibility. And he's being reinstated in front of all the others. See, the possibility is that the others might have said, Peter, you're finished with. We can't trust you again. That's not how the Lord dealt with them. The Lord reinstated them in front of all the others. What a ministry. And he says, now Peter, if you really love me, now you proclaimed your love for me, you've said how much you love me, what you would do for me, you would die for me. All right. I'm going to ask you to do this one thing. Shepherd the sheep. Now you remember the night I pointed out that Peter by his early years of experience, was not a shepherd. He was a fisherman. A big difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. Different types of men all together, you know. Now, I'm not talking of some of us fellows that go and cast a line, try and catch fish. That's not the idea. Think of those fishermen who fish for a livelihood. The tough men. The hard life. Fishing. Some of them go way out early, early morning. 3 and 4 in the morning. And they don't have a union to say you only work 8 hours. They're going out 3 and 4 in the morning, sometimes not until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And they've got to take the ship out of the, got to take the fish out of the ship, get the ship all tied up in the dock, and then that fish has got to be taken into the market. They're hard working men. I've watched them at it. And they go out there day after day, and they've got the storms to face out in the sea. And you know, some days they don't catch too much, and other days they get a good catch. You can tell by looking their faces when they come in if they've done well or not. But it's a hard life. But now a shepherd is a different type of man altogether. A shepherd sometimes can be a lonely man. Very little to support him, very little to help him. You remember me telling some of you this about a man who was a shepherd? The friend of mine used to call on him every 3 months. And he sold himself some things. And one time he called in. And he said to him, he said, the next time you come back here, he said, I'll be retired. They're telling me I've got to quit. I've got to stop. I'm too old now. So I'll be retired. But he says, they've told me that they're not going to turn me out of the house. They used to have little houses, little cottages on the hillside for the shepherds. He says, they're not going to turn me out of the house. I think be allowed to live in the house as long as my wife and I are here, they're not going to turn us out. You give them the privilege of living in the house. So the next time my friend called back in, he told me this story. He went in and the man wasn't there, but his old wife was there. He started talking to her. He said, where is he? She says, he's away up the hills. But he said, I thought he was retiring. She says, oh yes, he's retired, all right. He's retired, yes. He's not paid now. While they were sitting there talking, he came in. My friend looked at me and said, I thought you were retired. So I am, he said, but, oh, he said, I couldn't sit here in this house and know that these little beasties up there needed to be cared for. He was talking about the sheep and the lambs that were up on the hill. He was retired. He wasn't being paid. He was off the pay list now, he just lived in the house, living on his pension. But he thought of the sheep away up there, and the lambs, it was the lambing season. He had to go up and attend to them. Why? Because he was a shepherd. You see, he had the shepherd's heart. And the heart of the shepherd was such, he had to go and look after the lambs. You can't pay a shepherd off and tell him he mustn't do it. It's all right if he's a hireling. If he's a hireling, yes. Pay him up. Not if he's a shepherd. Peter, I want you to shepherd the sheep. Remember, there will be lambs and they'll require to be tended. You must tend the lambs, the tender ones, the little ones. Look after them. Care for them. Then these growing ones, look after them. And then as they're getting older, you'll still require to look after the flock. Now you see, when you think of children, children have you any meat? You're thinking of those who are members of a family. But now he's thinking of the church here as a flock. God's people now are looked upon as a flock of sheep. And they need a shepherd. Or if you like, they need shepherds. Someone to look after them. Now Peter has learned his lesson well. And he writes here and he knows that some of them here are suffering. Now when people are passing through times of suffering, you don't ignore them. If people are passing through times of perplexity, times of difficulty, they need to be helped. sheep need to be helped at all times, but especially in times of storm and difficulty. Seen sometimes a dark night looking out and looking way up the hill, and there you can see a little light flickering the way up the hill, the shepherd. He had sensed through a storm brewing, might have a heavy snowfall or a heavy storm of some kind, so away he went with his two dogs to bring in the sheep from the hillside and bring them down to the place of shelter, way up in the darkness of the night. Understand what the hymn writer meant when he said, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. The shepherd goes after the sheep. When Peter was writing this letter, they were passing through times of suffering. So therefore, said Peter, there's a great need for the work of the shepherds. Now he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. Now he said, I'm exhorting you because I also am an elder. I'm one of you. Peter wasn't asking them to do what he wouldn't do himself. So I take my stand with you. Just exactly what I would do, that's what I'm asking you to do. You know, some folks have some strange ideas about elders and deacons and church offices and all the rest of this nonsense. Look, my friend, these elders to whom Peter was writing were not men that were appointed to a position. These were men with shepherd hearts. Elders. The Bible may call them bishops in another place. The bishop or the elder, the shepherd. These were men who had their hearts such. Lovest thou me more than these? Then look after the sheep, feed the sheep. Now, says Peter, I am an elder myself. I'm a shepherd. And I'm writing to you who are shepherds. This is what I want you to do. Remember this. I also am an elder. I've been a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Having had some idea now of the sufferings of Christ. Now you stop for a moment and ask yourself this. What did Peter know about the sufferings of Christ? Peter was there that night, you remember, when he was taken along to the home of the high priest. Peter knew what he went through there. Peter knew what he went through in the garden. Peter knew what he suffered on the cross. Peter knew something of the hardships that the Lord went through, some of the suffering. Peter says, I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to feed the sheep. Feed them. That is, tend them. Shepherd them. Now again, try and let your mind travel around the work of the shepherd. The shepherd will have to feed the sheep, give them suitable feeding, lead them into green pastures. There's not sufficient pastures, he'll have to supply them with the excess. All the sheep need to be fed with suitable food. Yes, but sometimes you may get a sheep that's a little sick. And if the sheep is sick, they require special treatment. You know, I've seen shepherds examine all the sheep. I've seen them dusting them, putting oil on them, so on. They could tell the sick sheep. And then sometimes they'd have to put something over their mouth, give them some medicine. They'd look after those who were sick. But what about the sheep that sometimes wandered away? The shepherd would have to go after the one who had wandered away, searching out the wanderer. One thing to carry the weakling, here he's bringing the sheep in, and here's one that can't keep up with the rest. He can lift it up and put it on his shoulders. He carries that one. Bring it in. So the weak one has got to be cared for. The wandering one has got to be cared for. He's got to care for the sheep. If they're sick or weak. If they're wandering. They've all got to be fed. The shepherd has got to know his sheep. And he knows them. Everyone. particularly in the East, you know, the shepherd gave names to his sheep. And he could call the sheep by name, and the sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice. A man once asked the shepherd, he said, "Have you ever known of a sheep to follow a stranger?" He said, "Yes." "Oh," he said, "I didn't think the sheep would follow a stranger." He said, "Oh, yes." But he says, "If it does," he says, "it's sick. Only a sick sheep will follow a stranger." You know, I think there must be an awful lot of sick Christians these days. Because the false shepherds come along, a cultist comes into the area, and they run after a cultist. Someone comes along with some new strange doctrine. A few months later, they're away following something else. And that's Jesus' difference. They need to be careful. It may be some medicine they need. Need to be trained and taught. Therefore, he said, "I want you who are shepherds, remember this. First of all, you have a relationship. You have a relationship to the Lord himself. And you have a relationship to those sheep. And you've got to shepherd them, you've got to tend them, you've got to care for them." Peter, that's what I want you to do. That's what the Lord told me to do. The Lord told him to feed the sheep. Peter, tend the sheep. And in effect, Peter said, "No, I can't do it all. I'm not the only man." A lot of people today would try to tell us that Peter was the head of the church. Peter never was head of the church. He said, "I'm just one of you." He said, "I'm just an elder." He never claimed to be the bishop of the church. Of course not. He said, "You're elder, so am I. You're shepherd, so am I." David put himself on the level with them. He had a relationship Godward, he had a relationship manward, and he had a relationship towards the other members of the church. Those who were sheep in the flock. The little flock. You know, in this connection, I'd like you to turn back for a moment to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. There's a rather interesting verse in John, chapter 10, and it's unfortunate that in the King James Version that we read, there's one word that they haven't translated just correctly. Look at verse 16 of John 10. I remember being in a home one day where we looked this up, a number of people who spoke different languages. And we had about four different Bibles there, all written in different languages. One was in German, one was in Dutch, one was in Welsh, and one was in English. And we examined them all. Look at verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, in the margin of my Bible, for that second word fold there, in the margin of my Bible, it's the word flock. It's a different word altogether from the first word. "The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock with one shepherd." Now, that's an important verse in the Bible. I'll tell you why. A fold is an enclosure. Maybe a round one, it may be a square one. A fold is an enclosure. It has a wall. And everything inside that wall is in the fold. Oh, you may have so many sheep in there. You may have a goat in there. But if it's inside the wall, it's in the fold. You could have goats and sheep in the same fold. You may get a wolf in there. The wolf may get in over the wall. But it's in the fold. But it's a wolf. Even if it put on sheep's clothing, it's still a wolf. She's inside the four walls. That's a fold. Now a flock is different. A flock doesn't have an enclosure. A flock has a gathering center. With the shepherd. I've gone onto the hillside and you can whistle and do what you like, and these sheep, they just lift their heads and they look.
and they'll still continue eating the grass or they'll run away. But up comes the shepherd and he just puts his fingers in his mouth and he gives a shrill whistle. And you'll see those sheep lift their heads. No matter where they are, you'll see them beginning to move and they'll move towards the shepherd. He only needs to stand there with his stick, give the whistle, send out the two dogs. Before very long, he's got the sheep all gathered round him. A flock. A flock doesn't require an enclosure. A flock has a center. Now he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That was the fold of Israel. He had some sheep there, but he said, I've got other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring or lead. They'll follow him. And there shall be one flock with one shepherd. Now when you come over to Peter's epistle then, that's what Peter has in mind. Not a fold, not an enclosure, he's thinking of a flock. And the flock needs to be shepherded. They need shepherds to tend them. Now he said, I want you who are elders to care for the flock. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now remember this, a lot of people have difficulty with this word oversight. It simply means to see over, that's all. To see over. You put a man in charge, you may call him an overseer, you may call him a foreman, you may call him a supervisor. His job is to see over, to oversee the work. And to see that it's done correctly. But as one little man used to point out to us that there was two men, and one had grown 6 feet, and the other only grew 5 feet. The man who had only grown 5 feet couldn't possibly see over the man who had grown 6 feet. Wasn't tall enough. Now take the idea into spiritual things, spiritual growth, spiritual development. And the man who has developed in spiritual things is able to see over. That is to oversee the work. It's not a matter of being appointed to the work. It's a matter of having the ability to do the work. The spiritual ability. And a man with the spiritual ability is able to look after the sheep. Now watch what you have to do now. There's going to be a reward after we carry out the responsibility. But how do you carry out this responsibility? He says you've not to do this by constraint. But you have to do it willingly. Willingly. If there's a willing heart, first of all, it becomes a lot easier. It's not a matter of a man being conscripted. You know, the great argument goes on in this country as to whether we should have the draft or whether it should be the volunteer army. Should men volunteer or should they be drafted? Conscripted in. And there's an old saying, you know, that a volunteer is worth more than 10 press men. A volunteer is worth more than 10 press men. During the war, men were conscripted, they were drafted in, they were made to go. Whether they liked it or whether they didn't like it. Drafted in. But the volunteer is a man who says, I want to do it. In any local church, where there's a willing heart, men are anxious and willing to do it, and reaching out, preparing themselves to do this work, and they see the work to be done, and he said, I want to help them this work, I want to do the work. Willing. He's got to be willing, first of all. If he's not willing, it's no use trying to push him to do it. He's got to be willing, first of all. And then, of course, notice something else. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Now, let us get this clear now. All lucre is not filthy. But there is such a thing as filthy lucre. It's not all filthy. Some men work very honestly and very hard. And they've only got on because they did work hard. You know, I've known men who only wanted to work 5 hours a day, and I've known others who work 12 hours a day. you can't expect the man who just watched 5 to make the same progress as the man who watched 12. But it's not filthy lucre if it's got honestly. You and I know there's an awful lot of filthy lucre. Do you get the South Side shopper? Do you ever feel that there's something wrong about all this bingo that's going on? Bingo? Where does he get this money to pay the prizes? You see, I've often thought of this. I knew a place where a man used to raffle his pay every week. He used to raffle his week's wages every week. And all the men that worked with him took a ticket. If you got number one, then number one was put in the box. If you got number two ticket, number two was put in the box. Duplicates of them all. And each night, on a Friday night, when they finished and they'd all got their pay, they gathered round and the box was shaken up. Somebody had to put their hand in and pull out one ticket and shout the number. The man with the lucky number got this man's wages. Gave away his wages every week. Until it dawned on somebody he was taking home more wages than any of them. You see, they were all paying so much for the ticket. And some wise fella took his pencil and counted it up. He says, you know, he's getting more money than me. Raffled his pay every week and went home with the biggest wage basket. How silly can some men be? Why? Eager for filthy lucre. Gambling. Bingo. And all the rest of it. Football pool. Filthy lucre. I knew one man where they won 75,000 British pounds. That was worth an awful lot in these days. Poor father, the next time I saw his father, he had taken a stroke. It was too much for him. I had an uncle who won a prize in the football pool, died of a heart failure. His wife fainted the day that the check was delivered to him, but he said she wasn't long in getting up again. She started spending. A year and a half later, he died of a heart condition. Filthy lucre. Oh, but we're speaking here of religious things. Not for filthy lucre. This is not something that's done for money. It's something done of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. It's God's heritage. Some years ago, a young man went to work and live in a certain town. He joined himself to a certain religious group. Now, he wasn't long there till he realized he wasn't getting anything. And 2 blocks up, there was another group with a big crowd of young men. He thought, I'd be happier there. He got to know this other group of young Christians. He got in with them and was enjoying things. One day, the man who was in charge of the first place he had gone stopped these fellows on the street and started to open his mouth on them. They were stealing his sheep. So he said, he accused them of stealing his sheep. One fellow looked at him, he said, have you never learned the sheep will always go where they get the best grass? The sheep will go where they get the best grass. Feed them! Feed them with suitable pasture. Feed them with the word of God. Not your flock. Of course not. They're God's. God's flock. Feed my sheep to the Lord. They're my sheep, Peter. They're not yours. My sheep. Look after them. And then there'll be a reward when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now I want you just to take a moment and tie that in with what's been said today, what people have been thinking of today. When the Lord spoke of his death, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. At Calvary, he was the good shepherd. Gave his life for the sheep. But when you come to the epistle to the Hebrews, he's not presented as the good shepherd there, he's presented as the great shepherd. The great shepherd risen again from the dead, leading his sheep. Now when he went to the cross, the shepherd was smitten, the sheep was scattered. In resurrection, he's the great shepherd and he begins to collect them. He called one of them by name, Mary. Called another one, he met with Simon. And then you know that night, the second week, Thomas comes to tell you. He knew his sheep. Knew them by name. And he gathered them together around himself until within the 40 days after the resurrection, he had 500 of them gathered around him. He had over 500 at once. First Corinthians 15. Great shepherd, risen again from the dead, caring for his sheep, gathering them in around himself. Peter says that the chief shepherd, the chief shepherd is coming, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see, Peter's thinking back. He says, the good shepherd died for me. The great shepherd is now living for me. But the chief shepherd is coming again. You know, it's one thing to know about the death. There's a step further on when we get the real grasp of the resurrection of Christ associated with his exaltation. But oh, what a joy to know that the chief shepherd is coming again. And when he comes, there will be a reward for looking after his sheep. One of the crowns. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. It's the victor's crown, this. The crown that fadeth not away. Beloved, I wonder if we can look around today. Do we see any of the sheep? What about those little lambs? You know, I've often thought of this. I may be wrong. I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong. But pastures, fruit. You know, if you were going into a restaurant, some of you men could sit down and you could take a real good steak. I suppose some of you could take half a pound and look for more. But you would never think of laying a steak down to a little child, would you? You want something more suitable to the child. You may give the child the bottle to be able to suck on. Or if it's a little older than that, maybe it's something easy to take. Even children a little older may take a hamburger. But you wouldn't put a great big steak down. Different kinds of food. In the spiritual sense now, let us face up to this. When a person is newly saved, they're not fit yet to take the hard dog. They're not able. It's too much for them. They've got to get the sincere milk of the Word. Isn't that what he told us in chapter 2? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But remember this, you don't stay there. As you get older, there's a different kind of food, different kinds of pasture. So it is that each of us may have our appetite, spiritual appetite. Some can take it heavy, and some must get it light. But suppose now we think of young folks. Isn't it true that the Word has got to be prepared so that it can be presented to the younger Christians in such a way that they're able to take it in? That's why we have different classes in Sunday school, isn't it? So the different teachers can speak to the different age groups. Likewise, as they're growing up, teenagers want to be instructed along a certain line. They want to learn certain things. So they're from the teenage class, they can get taught things that are applicable to them and the difficulties they're facing. So it is just as he said, tend the sheep, shepherd them. May I suggest that today we've got to realize this. There's got to be a variety of ministry. Such a variety that there will be fruit for all of God's children. So therefore he says, those are the elders that speak to you. I want you to care for the sheep, feed the sheep, tend the sheep, shepherd them, watch them. And the day will come when the chief shepherd shall come back and give you your reward. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence and we thank thee for another good day spent with thy people. Think of the various services today. We pray for those who have been absent from us today because of way visiting. We think of Lacey and Carolyn on their way home now. Give them a safe flight, a safe arrival. May they come home rejoicing. Remember others who are visiting in other places today. We pray thy blessing upon them. Bring them all back home in safety. Take each of us now to our abiding places tonight. And may we have a good night's rest. May thy blessing be with our brethren on the morrow and throughout the week as they attend to their various businesses and their responsibilities. Bless them day by day. We ask it now in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, perhaps by next week, you'll notice they've been fixing up this here and the one over here. Now, that was not working today, except it was working out there at the nursery. Some of our brethren are working on that. And by next week, this thing will be working there, I suppose, and I'll need to stand away far back here, I suppose, in case I get you. But some of our brethren thought they would need a little amplification for the sake of those who come up here and don't speak too loud, that you'll all be able to hear them. So if you wonder what that is, that's a loudspeaker there.